Welcome tonight to Traveling for Christ Ministries in this Christmas season. Yes, I'm going to say that. We're just past Thanksgiving, but we're now, I was just at another church, and they had a big Christmas tree lighting and all these things going on, and they started Christmas season. So starting last week, we was talking about Christ. Every week through Christmas, we're going to, which we talk about Christ anyway, but we're going to gear directly on to Christ. And things about him, and will culminate in our Christmas, the last Sunday before Christmas, will culminate in that message. And that's already being written right now. Tonight was a little bit different. I want to remind everybody, you know, this is the Christmas season, so let's talk about being together. Let's call it that. That'll be great. Because we tend to get into this Christmas season, into this giving thing, and we tend to draw into family, which is what it's about. You say, Pastor, what's about family? Well, yes, it is. That's about a bigger family than most people share with, but it is, and we're going to talk about it tonight. There's a lot of people out here, especially at the holiday season, you know, that don't have anybody or don't have anything, or they don't know where to go, they're at wit's end, and whatever problem they have during the year is even bigger than what it is during the year. So this is why I'm encouraging everybody from this ministry this year. Instead of trying to rush money into here and rush things into here, why don't you do something in your community? However large or small it is, do something. Go to a restaurant. Find somebody that looks poor, that's barely making, or somebody that might look lonely, and without them knowing it, slide over to the waitress and pay for their meal. Maybe if you have a toll road like we do where you live at, pull up to the toll gate. Drop the toll attendant a few dollars and say, I want to pay for the next two cars. And drive off. You don't need credit for doing it. You need to do it out of your heart. Maybe you have a neighbor or maybe somebody you've seen. I know Carlos and I have been talking about this quite a bit when I get to see him over here and talk to him on the phone. And we've been looking for people. Look about us. They're not hard to find. There's a lot of people without. Like I was saying earlier, just as an example, I mean, I go and buy something and I give it to somebody. I'm probably about 4 months behind on my bills, about 3 or 4 months behind on my bills. But you know what? God's going to take care of that. And that's because of helping so many people during the year. It's not a big deal. That happens. You know, if anybody wants to see a good credit report, don't look at a preacher because they're too busy helping people. But God still provides me the money and he still provides me the heart. And I still go out and I look and I like to surprise people, especially during the holiday season. But we're going to get into something here. You know, in Luke 6, 32 through 33, the short version of it is, you know, people tend to get it like right about this time. They tend to say, okay, well, I'm going to help my family. They help me. Well, it says even sinners help people they know is going to help them. You know, what have you gained by simply helping people you know they're going to give back to you? Why don't you help one of God's people that's needy? You know, Christ always said, we're always going to have the poor. And he wasn't lying. We do. We have a lot of poor people. We have a lot of people. You think you're broke. You think you're poor. I hear all the time, well, I don't have a dollar to give to the church. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, God lifted you up out of the street. And except for his blessings, you'd be out there with nothing. But people say, oh, wait, you know, it's Christmas time. It's Thanksgiving time. You know, I'm going to donate I've got so many family members I have to give to, really. Which family are you talking about? Yours or God's? The one you call yours. You know, I was at that wedding yesterday. I'm not blood kin to any person that was there, but I was family. That's what matters. This is what we're talking about. There are more people in your family than the ones you know that are going to give you something. Your family's really big. We talk about all, you know, we're Christians and we're like Christ, really. Why does this come up every time there's a season of giving? Because we are human and we tend to forget. We tend to draw in ourselves. You know, we've had, and I'm asking some of y'all to step up with this too. Lately, we've been working with, again, with the idea Julie came up with a long time ago to ask y'all to reach out to somebody. Well, some people get frustrated. Well, I don't even get a text message back. That's not the point. The point's given of yourself without expecting anything back. It's the same way what we're talking about here. You think you don't have a dollar, but look in your wallet. You don't know what a dollar will do for somebody. You don't know what a quarter will do for somebody. I've done it many times. I step up here. We have a Wawa store. Some of y'all know what we talk about, a Wawa store. I stood up here at the Wawa store. I get up because I'm up like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm headed up to do a job up the street. I'll ride by there, and I'll give the clerk like $5 or $10. I ain't got to spare. But it ain't mine. It's God's. And I'll give them to them, and I say, whatever police officers are coming in, make sure their breakfast is paid for. Or their coffee's paid for. Or I'll just tell her, you know, there's some working people coming in. Just take care of whatever their tab is. And God always does what he said. He said, if you give without asking to get back, and I'm saying these things as an example of things you can do. When God says give without asking to come, without expecting back, like in Luke chapter 6, give without expecting back. You go to that other part of the Bible where he says, when you give like this, he's going to multiply your blessings tenfold. He ain't lying. He's truthful. But I'm going to tell you this. At this time of the year, we tend to forget to do that. It's amazing. All year long, we'll step out here or there, and we'll take a dollar, a quarter, $5 or something, and we'll help somebody. But when it comes this time of year, we tend to get centered on the ones closest to us that we're going to get something back from. Or we're going to see their smile or this or that. We see them all year. We should be in a given mood to them all year. We're talking about other people out there that don't have. You know, in Matthew 5:45, it says that, so you may be children of God. The sun rises on everybody. So that you may be children of God. The sun rises on the sinner. The sun rises on your enemy. The sun rises on somebody you may not want to be close to. Just as much as it rises on you. The rain falls on them just like it falls on you. They're equal. All year long. Not just once in a while. But you know, we've talked about giving so much during the last few years that a lot of y'all go out there all year long. And then at Christmas time, you know, up until this time, up until Thanksgiving time, some of you would ask me every week, in the last several weeks, who would you like me to reach out to? And some of you say, I've got a phone number. Don't worry. It's okay. I got some numbers. I'll reach out to them. But then the last couple of weeks, we get into Thanksgiving. And now we're going to Christmas. We're centered on our household, our physical human household, and not God's household. I've only had one person in the last 2 weeks ask me, do I need to reach out to somebody else, or do I need to take talking to these people here? We've got a list of people that used to be in this ministry that have left for one reason or another. And I do know that some of them are not in church right now. Simple fact of the matter is nobody reaches out to them and even says hello. And right now I've not had one person ask me for any of those numbers. Right now, more than ever, we should be reaching out to those people. We should do it all year long. But the last couple of weeks, when it really gets down there and tight, this is when people, if they feel left out already, it's going to get even worse right now. Because they're seeing families. Believe me, you're talking to somebody that lived most of his early life until he was 30 alone. The majority of it. I know what that feels like. I know what it's like. I know when there is no family. I know when nobody's even talking to you at all. Nobody. Been there, done that. I've been in other countries with nobody to reach out to. I walked into churches just to be close to other human people. Some of them, I couldn't even understand what they were saying, but the story was the same. It was about Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now, you think you've been alone. But when you walk away from God, because nobody that claims to be a child of God talks to you, that's the worst kind of alone right there. because your mind, Satan starts getting in there after a point and saying, you know, they didn't want you anyway. That God thing ain't right. Same thing he tried on Christ. Christ had a host of angels to save him. We can be those angels for somebody. See, angels appear in all kinds of forms when somebody needs one. This is why I'm encouraging everybody, wherever you are this holiday season, and don't just do it once. And don't do it once and say, God, I did my part. That's not what I'm talking about. Do something for someone without expecting anything back. If you can do it in a way they don't know it, that's even better. You know, people always ask me, said, how come you got all this in your house? I said, watch what happens. It goes out to people. Right? I buy food. I buy things. I told y'all before, I go to flea markets and I find something that influences somebody. Some of it I'm sending out to you. Some of it I have it in my hand as I'm walking across this big giant flea market down here and I hear a conversation and I stop and give it to them because it livens up their day for at least for a few minutes. And I walk off before they can say thank you. The return is not what it's about. Your return is in heaven. But like it says right there in Luke, when you just do for those who you know are giving back to you, just those closest to you, what good are you gaining? Sinners do the same thing. And they're not, a lot of them are not going to make heaven. When you're just loaning something to somebody knowing you're going to get something out of it, when you're just giving them something because you're going to get something out of it, if you're only dealing right there with those closest to your house knowing they're going to give you something, what good are you doing? If you want to be like Christ, who loves and gives to everyone, he makes salvation available to everyone. When he was here as a human on earth, and we're going to go way back in Ecclesiastes, we're going to shake people up. When he was here on earth, as our example, he reached out to everyone. Read about the crowds that followed him. It's amazing what you will learn. Read your Bible. You want to read more, get into biblical history. There's a lot of people wrote about what happened around this fellow called Christ. And a lot of them hated him. They had no reason to write good about him. Over 1,600 people proclaimed the gifts that Christ brought. And today we get so busy and we say, well, we're giving all, wait a minute, it's Thanksgiving, wait a minute, it's Christmas time, I got to buy this for this one. It's not about what you buy, it's about what you give. This whole season, all year long actually, is about what you give of yourself. Now, we've said before, no one person is an island. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what this giving does, okay? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, up around verse 9. It says, two are better than one. It was talking about people that had nobody here before this. Go read this whole chapter. It's going to amaze you. I just took part of it out of the middle. It's going to talk about a man was left all alone. He had no brother, no sister. There's a whole story in this chapter. But starting in verse 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for the labor. If either one of them falls down, one can help the other one up. If you're not giving of yourself, who are you lifting up? If somebody is so far down in the world and you can't lift a hand to help them even for a few seconds, what good are you doing in the world? Christ does things together. We were made to help each other. When I read the Bible, it says we are all in Christ's family. Whether we choose to stay there or not is up to us. Christ offers salvation, period. And it's there. But we choose whether to accept it or not. And I'm going to tell you, the greatest lie people tell today is, I am a Christian. That's the greatest lie I hear on a daily basis. I am a Christian. I hear it so much. It's like, I love you. That's the second greatest lie. People use those words to make themselves feel good. It's a whole different thing to live it. It's a whole, go back to Ecclesiastes. If either one of these falls down, one can help the other one up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Wow. Let's take that. This is what I'm saying. If our brothers and sisters are down, most often they're going to stay down. You know, before I was in this walk with God, before I was in this ministry, before I would go and I would listen to these stories, and I would think, I stay down. Nobody reaches to me. The greatest outreach I ever had to me in those years was, and I can tell you where those churches are. There was four churches. Four. I'll give it four. That actually asked me, can we help you? And mean it. Everybody asked that. But they meant it. One asked me, and I was in a church, was in Greek. I went to Sunday school out in New Mexico. Sunday school was in English. It was great. And the people made you feel, I went into the main congregation, the main hall, and they had the main service. It was in Greek. I don't know what they said. But I'm going to tell you what, I knew the story. And you would follow along in the book, and a priest would say something, and you would answer him. I don't know what we were saying, but I knew what was happening. Because there were people that genuinely asked, and they genuinely tried to help. They brought me in out of the cold. I'm not talking about the snow. They brought me in out of the coals. They shared what they believed. And I can count them on one hand and have a finger left how many places I actually felt Christ. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm telling you, this is why to me, I am a Christian is the biggest lie I ever hear every day. Because some people really mean it and really give their all. But other ones don't have time. They may do it today. They don't have time tomorrow. Or the most common thing I hear is, I'm so busy today, but I'll do it tomorrow. I am so thankful God wasn't too busy today and put me off till tomorrow. I try every single day. I try to witness for Christ. I try to witness for His Father God. And I do it to somebody. And I witness for this ministry, and I tell people that God has blessed so many people through here. And I'm glad Jack and Sandy back, they can tell you about some of them. They were here to see it happen years ago before this group we have now. They know what's happened through here. They've seen it. They've seen the people that fought it. They've seen the people that have been blessed through here. They've seen people that talk bad about this ministry while others were getting their lives saved. And we've had a lot of would-be Christians. We've had a lot of real Christians. And it's been a blessing the whole way across. But if I literally could have a penny for every time that I heard somebody just throw that term out there, I'm a Christian, or throw that term out, I love you, I'd be a rich man. Because so few of them are telling the truth. They're making themselves look good. They strive every single day to imitate Christ, bar none. They strive so hard every single day. We've got another pastor on here now. I talked to him. He's been blessed with the church down there. Last week, I think it was pastor, you can correct me later, I think was speaking at another church as well. Tonight, I went to a program in another church. What am I doing? Sister Vicky can tell you. I'm sitting there witnessing to some ladies and their husbands in a row behind me. This is what we do. This is what Christianity is. I didn't know those people. God knows them. And they had started out laughing about the program as if they were getting really serious. After they had somebody witness to them and somebody treat them like they were part of Christ's family. You know, I've been in the same church, and I've watched so many Christians walk by a mentally challenged young man. I love him to death. I love every second I get to spend with him. Him and his mother come. Dad can barely get out. I was so blessed. Dad was there. Now I actually got to see his dad. His dad has a lot of medical issues. He actually got to come out tonight to the program. I have witnessed with this guy. He has witnessed to me. He has an awesome witness on social media. He has an awesome witness by text messages and everything you can name. Every day he lives to witness for Christ. And you assume he can read all this stuff. He can't read a word. But he's an awesome witness for Christ every day of his life. He can't read a written word. He carries that Bible with him. You don't see him without it. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest version of the Bible I see is in his heart and in his soul. I see people that can read it and won't open it. And when they do, they read it with a closed mind. I see this young man, he does fundraisers for people with less than him. I'm going to tell you, that family is very, very poor. And he can't read a word. He's constantly witnessing for Christ. He's constantly challenging people with a Bible. He's constantly part of everything that church does to raise funds or products or whatever they do to help people less fortunate than what he is. He can barely afford the clothes he's wearing. But he's out there. It doesn't matter what time of the day or what time of the year. It doesn't matter. He's there. His mom is there. The people that can do it have a problem of staying steady, but they don't have a problem claiming they're like Christ. We're going to do a synopsis of Christ's life in a couple of weeks. And we're going to do it for one reason. Everybody thinks they know it. But they've read it somewhere, they've heard about it. But they've not stopped and dwelt on it lately. Or they would not use that term Christian lightly. They would be like that young man. And I can show you any number. I meet them all the time. All the time. You tell me, well, you know, Pastor, I meet people, we speak a different language. I have stood out here on the side of this road with a Bible that is English from one side of the page and Spanish on the other side, and witnessed with people and studied about God by pointing at the verses in the Bible. And that person pointing at the ones they like. And we've done this for hours. Language is not a barrier. We're barriers at ourselves because we don't look at people the way Christ looks at them. People are people, sinners and Christians alike. They're all equal. The sun rises on every one of them and it sets on every one of them. What it says in Ecclesiastes here, it's telling you the whole chapter is about this very thing. If two people are better than one, it says, because they'll have a good return for the labor. Two people can do a better job. When you're out here witnessing, when you're out here doing something, you don't have to do it alone. Christ is with you, but you can also have another human with you. You can do it. When you go to deliver that turkey to somebody, you go take one plate of food to somebody that may not have it. It don't matter if they're dead broke or they're starving. If somebody's working on Christmas or on Thanksgiving or whatever, or any night of the week, if somebody's working, it might boost their morals, it boosts their thoughts and their spirits. Reach out to them. I see drivers coming all the time. We were blessed. We had things in here. Two guys was stuck here. One of them actually lived close to here, couldn't go home. They were stuck here because of a load. We were blessed enough to be able to give them turkey dinner 2 days in a row. What did it cost us? A little bit of effort? A little bit of kindness? How about a little bit of Christian love? It did open the door for us to talk about Jesus Christ. And we sent both of them on their way with Christ in their hearts and an understanding of what Christian love is. It's not hard to do. It takes effort of ourselves. If you go down there, it says if either one of them falls down, the other one can help them up. Why aren't we helping people up? Why are we picking and choosing who we help? I tell y'all all the time, if you're working for Christ, Christ is going to put somebody in front of you that needs to hear what you know. Why'd you turn your back? If somebody comes up to you and says, I don't believe in that Christ, what's he saying? I don't believe in your God. What are they saying? They're saying, teach me. Do it gently. Tell me you'll pray for him. You've got now Pastor Pat in here. And I know Pastor Jack from past experiences, they both have some answers how you can approach that when that happens. They could help you. They could give you ideas to think and to say. Even better, Christ will give you what you need to say. But you have to trust him. And you have to want to be like him. But see, it takes two. The world is beating that person down. That's the point I'm getting at. For whatever reason, that person was beat down. Why don't you partner up with them, give them a hand up? Be amazed at what happens. You know, one of the greatest, most public atheists in the world, Madeline Murray O'Hare, who was gone for a minute now. I'm not saying good. I'm just saying things happen. A lot of questions about what actually happened to her. A lot of stories. For years, Christians would not talk to her. But somebody did. Christians would not talk to her because she would tell them she didn't believe in their God. But somebody did. Somebody spoke about Christ in her home. I've heard this story many times from the person it affected. You see, she had children. And somebody gently as they can, God in her midst when they could, God in the midst of her family when they could, and other people that were around her, and talked about Christ. Her son became a Methodist minister. Never know who you're touching. Because you see, the person in front of you is not the only person that's down. There's other people around them. Why don't you give them a hand up? Why don't you give them a kind word? You know, I've had people tell me, I don't believe in your God. I don't care what you do. I said, good, sit down and I'll buy you dinner. And they will sit there. I don't bring it up. I don't say anything till they do. God will lay it on their heart. They will ask you why you did that. And I will tell them things like, because the God you say you don't believe in just provided me the money to buy your dinner that you couldn't afford to buy or you would have already bought it. They want to talk to you after that. All y'all truck drivers out there, here's things you can do. It works for everybody everywhere. You have to look for a way in. You have to trust God. You have to pray. You have to talk to other Christians. Oh, wait a minute. But the Bible says, don't forsake the gathering of the saints. Okay. This is why I say nobody can make a saint out of a Christian except for God. They're all called saints. You know, Paul said that, and Christ said, come together as often as you can in my name and do these things. When you get together with other Christians, and in here, y'all come in and listen to a message, and a lot of you leave. How much time are you spending with other Christians actually talking? There's just something to think about. How many Christians are you spending time with, sitting down, taking time, and talking to and boosting each other up like Christ said to do when you come together? There's your thought. But see, even the Bible tells us, you know, even if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? You can use that a lot of ways. I know why he's talking about there. But at the same time, we get cold in our hearts when we try to do this thing alone. We're humans. We were made to be together. My heart was very cold in ways most of you will never know. And God sent somebody to warm my heart. And they didn't have to. I was not nice to them. They didn't have to. But they listened when God said, do this. And they put a hand out. In fact, several people did. And you never know who you're going to change. In one case, they changed the most famous atheist ever was, changed her family. In my case, somebody changed a very cold person into what you have now, and you say you come in here to hear God speak through me. Well, God did it to me, He'll do it for you, and He'll do it through you for somebody else. But you have to pay attention. You warm each other up. This is why you get to a point where you don't give without asking, without assuming you're going to get something back. This is why you have a problem with that, because you're not talking to each other. People ask me a lot of times, why are you doing what you're doing to help me? Why would I would not? Because you're a child of Christ. I may not like your message. I may not like what you do. That doesn't mean I don't love you. That doesn't mean I don't respect you. That doesn't mean I don't care about you. I'm going to do what God provides me to help you. I'm going to take chances, whatever I've got to do to help your life be better. But you see, and I'm going to help your heart warm up to God. You can quote all you want about Bibles and scriptures and everything. But when you actually act like Christ, not only according to scripture, not only will God know it, the world will know it. When you actually do these things, the world will know it. See, it's really hard. That's why most people don't do it, and why they kind of let themselves get cold, and especially this time of year. Why do they kind of let themselves kind of wander? It's so hard. You have to be attentive to other people's feelings as well as yours. That's what Christ did. He didn't walk in and slam dunk and shove it down the throat. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He loved them. And He won them over easily. He didn't win every single way. He's not going to get everybody. But you can make your life better and their life better if you would practice these things you're talking about. It takes a team. One person can't do it. It's just like a marriage. Both of you said, I'm going to do all this until I die. Only when only one of them's doing it, or when you're not doing it together, it don't work. It's the same way in a Christian's life. If you're actually like Christ, everybody says, what would Christ do? I don't care what would He do. I've never cared what would He do. I can't think like Him. What I care is, what did He do? You see, here's what people have done. God set this thing in place from the get-go. Somewhere along the line, just like Satan in heaven, like Lucifer who tried to go against God in heaven, same way, somewhere along the line, men start saying, man, that's hard. That's hard. It takes all my time to be like God. You know, He's wanting me to do things that I just don't have enough time in the day to do. I got to grow my crops. I got to plant this. I got to do that. I got to take care of my animals. I got to take care of my family. I don't have time. And then He wants me to give the best of what I do have to Him. I can't afford to do that. So God sent messenger after messenger. We call them prophets. And people so much wanted to be themselves, instead of being God-like, instead of doing what God devised us to do, instead of working together. That's why we have wars. We don't want to work together. Believe me, you can grab every war right down to one thing. People don't want to be together. They want to do their thing the way they think it ought to be done. That's what wars are about. The sad part is millions of innocent people die because some people don't want to be God-like. They want to be in control. That's all war is. As nasty as that's all it is. So God sent prophet after prophet. You can name them. Isaiah, Ezekiel, all these people. And men killed every one of them. Men didn't want to hear it. They killed the prophets. They changed the stories. It's still happening today. Today we call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ. Nah. There really isn't that many. There's a lot of people throw that name around, but there's not that many real ones. They talk about it. I thank God every day that I do meet real Christians that really are giving their life and really are doing anything, and they really are backing up and saying, you know, wait a minute. What is a Christian really like? So let's get back there in the bad days when they were killing all the prophets. And God looked at his son one day and said, look, they won't listen to examples I've seen. They won't listen to miracles I've made happen. I'm going to send you down there as one last shot. And either they take it or they don't. That's what it is. You can talk about God all you want. He hasn't sent another prophet since Christ. You can throw all the names around you want. Even our Bible says he was the final sacrifice. Check it out. Christ came here and is the example. Christ is the one that we need to live by. We need to copy what he did, not worry about what would he have done here or there. That don't matter. Now, he sends people right now to quote the word, and a lot of people give him a lot of names. Whatever it is, it works, it's great. We have a lot of people throw the name Christian around. It is such a misused word. We're doing the same. And we look back at the Bible and say, well, they were crazy back then. Hey, folks, look around now. Look in the mirror. Doing the same thing. Hadn't changed. Another day on the calendar. But, you know, like it says, that road to hell is wide and it's easy. You're going to be all them people that says, you know, I just don't have time. I don't have a penny. I don't have a dollar. I don't have a minute. I got to do all this stuff. I can't give that to nobody else. Let me tell you something. The day is going to come when you don't make that entrance exam to heaven. Because there is a wall and there is a test. And when you're telling Christ now, he's going to tell you then. And it says right there, I'm going to tell you, you didn't know me then. I don't know you now. Come judgment day, you're going to find out what the word Christian actually means. Sad part is you have an opportunity now. A simple phone call. A simple text message. You get a paycheck. Take part of it you're supposed to be giving back to God and help somebody. Liven up your day. Not just, I hear so many times, well, I did that last week. Well, what about this week? I thank God that he didn't send his son down here for a week and say, okay, well, you know, we'll take care of this week. We're going to take care of next week. That's what you're saying. I hear it all the time. The saddest part is God hears it more than me. He hears your heart. He's telling you right there. And if you go to Matthew 5:45, oh, we did that one. Let's go to Matthew 25:40. Whatever you do for one of these lesser, you do for me. You're doing it for Christ. When you reach out and give of yourself without expecting anything back, when we start, just this text program, the biggest thing ever, well, they didn't answer me back when nobody told you they would. I was telling you we're going to send these cookies out to troops. Most of them never answer us. That's not the point. The point is we gave of ourselves. And we should do it all year long, especially now. When times are the hardest, the mental strain on people is the hardest right now. Because we made this whole season so commercial. You know, and so family-oriented, one time a year, it's family-oriented and all that. Those people that don't have or have very little, they're in worse shape now than they've ever been. They may have the same dollar amount, same amount of food, but mentally and spiritually, they're in the worst shape they are any time of the year. And when do we choose to quit supporting them? This time of year, we get too busy. We are busy with what God has provided in our house and the people we call our family. We are too busy to work in God's family and in God's Son. We're too busy to say thank you, Jesus Christ, because it says no one gets to the Father but through Jesus Christ. And if you haven't read that Bible, you've heard that thousands of times all during this year. Right here. Well, maybe you didn't listen to it, but you heard it. I'm going to tell you a little story I heard tonight, and I'm going to close on this. I watch this Christian illusionist. He's very clear. He doesn't wear magic or anything like that. It's simply an illusion. You think you see what you don't actually see. And it was entertaining, but he told Christian stories. And I love the one he told. I won't go to where he was anyway. But anyway, the story is about snow, because he's from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And it was about snow. You see, and I could associate, because I have a storm in my life that had never seen snow. And once we were way up north up there, and to see snow for the first time and look at it, he told a story. He says his teacher, the first time he saw snow, there was a snowflake on his arm. I mean, his teacher was telling him, you know, each one of those snowflakes is individual. So he watched them hit his arm, and everyone looked a little bit different. And he was in awe that God was that smart and that dedicated to create each individual snowflake differently. See, we're the same way too. Each one of us has our own attributes. But you see, what he learned in that snow was that individually it would melt off and it wouldn't do anything with your arm maybe. But together, that snow changed the world. All those snowflakes together changed the world. I've watched many a snowfall, and one snowflake will not hurt the roof of your house. But you see, in areas where there's a lot of snow, they build the roofs a different way than we do in the south or wherever when they have a lot of sunshine. Because you see, when you get a lot of snowflakes together, they can push the roof off your house. They can actually push your house down. They can change your life. Well, you see, we're the same way like those little snowflakes. Each one of us is different. God is so determined and so loving, he makes each one of us different. And he made each one of us part of his family. And when we come together, like it says in Ecclesiastes, we're going back there in the Bible. This story's been there for a long, long, long time. And it backs up with the New Testament. When we do it together, there's nothing can stop us. When we reach down to those other people, and we give them a hand up, you know, God has this way of reminding us that somewhere in our life, somebody gave us a hand up. That we've all faced a challenge somewhere, and we will again. But he sent somebody to give us a hand up, and we've forgotten it. So when I was researching for tonight, I sat and I really did look back. And hindsight's 2020. Hindsight's so clear. You can look back. Why? You know, I got to thinking, how much have I forgotten? And which of those people God sent to give me a hand up have I reached out to lately? Good question. Which ones are still up? Which ones need a hand up? Which ones just need a word? So I started making a list. Some of them I haven't talked to in years. I'm just like everybody else. Life gets going forward, you're doing these things, and you're doing work for God, and you forget the ones God has sent you to give you a hand up. And you forget it to a point you're not giving somebody else a hand up. Or you don't think about giving somebody else a hand up. You see somebody with less fortune than you and say, you know, they're begging for a dollar. It's not your job to decide whether they need that dollar or not. It's your job to love them like the Christ you claim you follow. Because see, Christ would give them a hand up. Christ did give them a hand up. He didn't say, well, I don't like you and I don't like you and I'm going to take this guy and you don't like you. He didn't do that. Salvation's for everybody. It's equal for all. It's up to us to take it. And I'll tell you another quick story. You see, I like Psalms chapter 91, and y'all that read it know what I'm talking about. Angels appear in whatever form they need to. Christ makes this happen. And we've told stories in here about angels touching people's lives, angels that look like humans and whatever. But I always like that one that Dale Evans Rogers told for many, many years. And if you're younger than me, you probably don't know who she is. that she wrote a book called Angels Unaware, and it was based on a verse in the Bible that says you never know who's in front of you. You may be entertaining an angel and you're unaware of it. And I like to add to that, you may be someone's angel and not aware of it. It may be a simple act of just a hello or treating somebody on the street or wherever equal. We have so many problems in this country alone that people still don't talk to each other because of their skin or their earning level or whatever. We have so much out here, and I see so many people call themselves Christians. I'll show you a Christian. That young man I told you about in this church, his mom told me one day, said, you know, he can't read a word. I said, no, but he could sure portray a lot of words. His life is built on Christ, and he gives his life for that. And people that can read won't even open the Bible, and when they do, they read it with a closed mind. Think about that. And they call themselves Christians. So this holiday season, more than any other time, this Christmas season that we're embarking on now, show Christ you're really a Christian. Show someone that you're doing your best to copy Christ. And don't expect anything back. Don't be shocked if they turn and walk off. That's not the point. The point is you give of yourself. That's the point. Christ came here and gave his entire life, and he's still giving today. Reach out and take his hand. Reach out and do what he did. Don't worry about what would he do. Reach out and do what he did do. That's what you need to do. Copy him. They called aping people. In other words, copying them. That's not a bad term. It's an old term they use. You're copying them. You imitate them. Whatever word you want to use, do it. But in this holiday season, give where you live. Give in your area. There's somebody close to you that needs it. And if you want to reach farther out, if God was going to talk to me, I've got phone numbers. People would just like to have a kind word more than once. They get it once all year long, and nobody ever calls them back. Nobody talks to them because they have a problem. They want somebody to hear them. They want somebody to be kind and show they do care and check back on them, just like you need. When you have a problem, you want people to sincerely check with you. You want them to check back on you and make sure the problem's gone away or gotten better. You want them to bring you a good word. Other people are the same way. But reach out and touch someone. Bow your head with me. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us so much. And thanks for the words, Lord. And thanks for backing up those words. And thanks for sending us so many helpers. And thanks, Lord, for giving us a chance to reach out and to help someone. And for opening our minds and our hearts up, Lord. Thank you for this season that's coming that we're into now to worship your son's birth. Thanks for getting rid of all the stupid stories and all those things and keeping us centered on what it's all about, and that's the birth of Christ. Whatever the time of year, whatever day it is, it doesn't matter that we worship your son and for what he came for, what you sent him for, and what he's still doing today. Thank you for all the blessings we have. And be with the people on our prayer list, Lord, that are less fortunate than us, Lord. Lift them up. And thank you for these leaders stepping up in church and help bless their ministries that you're giving them, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.